Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are recapping episode number 8 of season 2 of Deal or No Deal Island. Blake is in full survivor mode. He's so ready.
I'm in Deal or No Deal mode for another 5 hours.
For another 5 hours. Yes, tonight, though, Blake will be joining me on the Survivor premiere recap, so make sure you tune into that at 10 p.m. Eastern time, right after the episode. We'll be jumping in to do everything. We'll be doing Digging Deeper with me tomorrow at 7:45. So I'm going to get that out of the way first. So all those Deal or No Deal Island people, those stands, Philip Solomon, who's sitting here like, I don't care about Survivor. Shut up. Talk about us. I just wanted to get that out of the way at the beginning, because here we are. We're going to talk Deal or No Deal Island, Philip versus Parvati. We actually got like a legitimate fight, it felt like, on this episode, Blake. Maybe Dr. Will was thwarting
Trump. Oh, yeah. Thank God we got that boring-ass person, Dr. Will, out so we get some real entertainment last night. Just so people are paying attention at home, I watched it last night. It's one of those I cannot go to sleep without watching. I had to wait till 12:01 so it would show up on demand, because I do stuff during the night sometimes. Sometimes have a social life. And I was just sitting there 12:01 drinking my Gatorade, eating my candy, and like, oh my goodness. Like, there's an actual, do we think there was going to be a confrontation? And guess what? It's as soon as it starts. And I think it is something interesting. If we've had Philip on the show, Philip doesn't really come off that great after this discussion, but he does tell Parvati straight up to her face, this is what's bothering me. I did not like whenever you used my childhood trauma against me. And it was very interesting to see Parvati not volley this. Like, not, I don't think it was gameplay when they were talking. Mm-hmm. Of, I am so sorry that I made you feel that way doing that stuff. I'm glad you told me about this. And let's see what we can do moving forward. I don't want to make you feel like that again.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very like, okay, is this namaste? Is this 5 shows of expertise? Is this her true? I'm sure Parvati has done enough therapy in her life, or like, once you go to therapy, you do know how to have proper conversations when somebody comes to you with a problem without leaving them with like, Parvati's a freaking loser or whatever, or more choice words that we couldn't even say on NBC. And it does feel like that's going to happen. And then, oh crap, Philip immediately the next possible thing is Philip gets ganged up on in the first possible vote of our long ass weird excursion. And Philip, instead of being like, it's truly just a game, kudos, goes back to the old Parvati right away. I can't trust her at all. And you're just like, oh, really? Like, that's where we're going here. So I think whether you're Team Philip or you're Team Parvati, you had to have watched that and been like, I don't know if that's how I would have reacted to that. But like, what did you think, Phil? Did you think that's a proper apology? And then, hey, we're still playing a game for money. Like, all is fair. I guess there are some things that aren't fair. Like, I can't go, hey, I know that you hate this from your childhood. You'd hate for that. Like, that is literally, he's saying that is too far. And then we go right back to, and now I think it's too far again, instead of like, there is some stuff that's fair in love and Deal or No Deal Island.
I mean, for me, I truly think like it takes a lot to offend me. And I know like some people on this podcast would be like, yeah, okay, Phil, you went off about Danielle last week for 5 minutes, but
you've done that like 4 times in 10 years.
I mean, my thing is though, I hate hypocrisy more than anything. That's the thing that really aggravates me. So I hate when the fan bases of shows are hypocritical, where it's like, you know, Danielle calls Carolyn Forrest Gump, says Forrest Gump to her face, which we all know what that implies. And I'm glad that a lot of people actually agreed with me on that. I'm not sitting here being like, oh, I hate Danielle. I hate her. I hope she dies. Like, you know, there's people who are like, go find a hat that fits your hair. You're so ugly. Like stuff like that. It's ridiculous. God. It's so bad.
Deal or No Deal fan base is not like that. Hear me out.
Because when I'm saying, like, when I make a point about I don't like what this person did, it doesn't mean I'm offended. It doesn't mean that I'm like disgusted. I thought that her calling Carolyn was Forrest Gump was disgusting, but I'm not sitting here being like, oh my God, like if I saw Danielle dying of thirst on the side of the road, I wouldn't give her water. Like, I'm not going that route, right? Because for me, like, I just have to say, like, if Tom Sandoval said that, and this is the point I made on the Traders, if Tom Sandoval said, Carolyn, you're like Forrest Gump, the entire community would have jumped down his throat. It would have been, he's the most offensive person ever. There would have been think pieces from Andy Herron, like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We would have had all this nonsense going on, but we don't get that. So what I like to call it, the hypocrisy more than anything. And my reason for stating all of this is I don't feel that Philip should be as offended as he is, because I wouldn't. But I also don't know what Philip went through. I don't know what his childhood was like. I don't know how bad he was bullied or anything like that. I know that when he came on the podcast, he talked about, you know, how he overcame a lot to be like this muscular guy, this positive minded guy that he wasn't when he was younger. He dealt with his stutter and these different body issues. And now he's this strong guy. And so I can understand why this would bother him. I do truly feel that Parvati was saying this as not thinking she crossed the line. But also, I do feel that she was being very apologetic and was sincere in her apology when she was making the apology to Philip, because I don't think she thought she was crossing a line. All of that said, Parvati still goes back to playing the game immediately after that, because that's just how Parvati is and she can't turn it off. And I probably would have given Philip at least one bone there and maybe not sent him as one of the first couple people packed.
I have so many thoughts about this episode. We're going to be bouncing around. We're going to be, what about this? What about this? But truly, I don't know if the word is impressed. I was maybe even inspired by Parvati. It really felt like there was a genuine moment of, I'm understanding what you're saying. I hate that that made you feel that way. I hate that we've basically been at each other for 2 days. And I don't like that. So let's figure it out.
Yeah.
And great. Scene's over. Welcome to the excursion. And I want to go ahead and nominate this excursion for like the worst played challenge in the history of, I haven't even seen season 1. This has to be like every single player played this as badly as possible. Because I would truly want to nominate at this final 8, who is the least likely to win the whole game? Mm-hmm. Lachelle. Yeah. And Lachelle goes home after this. Spoilers for the end of this. But, like, how do you guys pass around power? How do you give power to certain people? How does Parvati use that power and still get nobody possible out this episode? Yeah. It's like, what are we doing? Okay, there's the family, which we're going to talk about the family over and over again. In the log line for the episode, I was click and play. We do remember Parvati was next to Joe. It was like a alliance faces a fracture. And I was like, oh, okay. It's got to be the family. That's the only alliance we have. Okay, Parvati's off to the right. So Parvati's going to be playing. Obviously not, but let's not get too far ahead. But it's like, okay, there's eight people. It's not even break up into pairs. It's we're going to have eight of us. You guys are going to make decisions. And the first decision they're faced with is, who do you think is the weakest link that you wouldn't want to do the rest of the challenge with? Mm-hmm. And they don't take that as, okay, let's, whatchamacallit, they just get rid of Lete. And I guess Philip did get one bone because Lete goes first and Dixon follows, right? And then Philip does the iguana challenge. So
the order, and I can just read out the order real quick so that we can just get that out of the way and then just talk about it. It's Lete, Dixon, Philip, CK, Lachelle, and then David versus Parv for the power. And yeah, I guess they did throw him a little bit of a bone. He's not the first one, but like, I don't know. It just seemed like Parvati was never going to let Philip get to the end of this challenge. It's crazy to me that they're letting David and Parvati get to the end of this challenge. Like, right. I don't understand how David and Parvati have all of the power to be the last two people left in this challenge. Like, what are, like, the infighting between the civilians, as we call them, is just absurd. How is this the infighting between the civilians to the point that they're not realizing Parvati? And I understand if they don't know who David is. But how are you letting Parvati get all the way to the end of every single challenge? We've done eight episodes and Parvati hasn't been eligible to go home yet.
And I think Joe is literally saying to them, Parvati has been immune for eight straight weeks.
Like, SOS.
And I thought it was just hilarious too, because it's like, okay, the first part, get rid of your weakest link. And Parvati's like, Lete has been in charge the last three, or Letty, let's say her name right, because we do know how to say it.
Alexis.
Letty has been in charge of who's doing deal or no deal. Let's vote her out immediately. So she takes the prompt, throws the prompt out, and makes a play at that person's been in charge this whole time. Mm-hmm. And nobody in the future takes, okay, this is fair game. We're not going to vote based on what this whiteboard says, or this jungle whiteboard says. We're going to do whatever we want. And even Letty is like, man, what the hell? You guys think I'm the weakest? And like trying to get back in there. But I just don't understand why, of those possible eight voters, why are more of them listening to Parvati than listening to Letty?
Because I don't get it.
Parvati also says, I'm clearly, everyone has said, I'm the most, because Dr. Will's gone, I'm the biggest threat, but they all hate each other. And it's like, I guess CK voting against Letty, and then Lachelle is just along for the ride, and then Dixon, and then that's already a five. When you add those to David and Parvati, that's already five, and you're like, screwed as Letty already.
Yeah, I don't get it. And part of me wonders, like, every one of these people has said, oh no, I'm a fan of Survivor. I like Survivor. Trust me, I like Survivor. Part of me feels like they've heard of Parvati and that's it. Like, maybe they've seen the clip from, you know, her twirling the her and Alexis or Natalie or whatever doing their witch's brew. Like, maybe they've seen that clip. Maybe they've seen the double idol play in Heroes Villains. Like, I don't know. But to me, I don't actually feel like these people understand Parvati. Like, if I'm playing out there with Parvati, unless Parvati is like my best buddy, me and Parvati are running through this game, just the two of us, domination. I'm not letting Parvati have any control ever. And if that gets me knocked out of the game, that gets me knocked out of the game. But you got to be out of your mind to want to go through this game with Parvati. Like, Parvati is a very good reality TV player. See, I didn't say great. See, oh, that's got to piss off the Parvati stands. But she's a very good reality TV player. And so I'm not letting her get to the very end. Like, what are we doing? And like, I guess this is where my frustration comes from, is like, CK, why are you so focused on the other civilians? Like, I don't understand why CK can't get out of her own head about, I just need to be at Letty. That's who I'm at. I just don't like Letty. That's it. Done.
I mean,
like,
Letty says, if you're sticking around, I'm coming for your head.
Yes.
So there is a little bit like, okay.
But when you're doing this challenge, think realistically here. Are you always going to be able to get the numbers to get Letty? Probably. But you're only going to be able to get the numbers to get Parvati at the beginning because she has her family. There's seven people left. There's three of them. Get rid of Parvati. After that vote is over, then say, I also now pick Letty. Why are we doing Parvati? Or why are we doing Letty? And then we're turning around and saying, okay, we'll pick Dixon. Dixon is the least threatening person out there right now. Like, Dixon, if this was Survivor, if this wasn't Deal or No Deal on, because by the way, got on a plane this weekend. I flew to New York City for that premiere event for Survivor. I watched the Deal or No Deal Island season one finale. I did it. There's no, at the end of the game, it came down to physical, which actually I think was a detriment to the first game. But it came down to physical. If that happens here, strategy and social doesn't make sense at all. But if this was Survivor, who's Dixon playing the game like? I don't know. Natalie Tenorelli. Congratulations on your new baby, new addition to the family. But Natalie Tenorelli. Philip
on your
Shepherd,
family?
he is playing a Redemption Island follower type game. If he had to face a jury against David and Parvati, they'd be like, congratulations on getting your $100,000 or whatever third place gets on Survivor. You get no votes and please don't open your mouth again. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but he's not doing anything. So to me, it makes no sense to make him the second person removed from the challenge. This challenge was actually well designed to try to create infighting, right? You know you're not going to get the highest level. Only two people are going to be safe. Only the people with the two highest cases. If you want to have all the power, you have to get to the end. Like, only the bottom two will face the banker, have an opportunity to face the banker, but only the top two are actually safe. So those other three, there's going to be five people who are up for elimination in this episode. It's designed to create drama. And there was none because they all just rolled over and died.
The most poorly played of a challenge of all time. Because I think what's interesting too is, okay, now the second rung is David, Parvati, Philip, CK, Lachelle, and who's the sixth person? Who's not Dixon or Letty? Are we at seven David. Or are we at eight?
You're not saying David.
I said David Parvati already. Let me go.
David
back.
Parvati, Lachelle, CK, Dixon, Letty, Phillip.
Two, three, four, five, six. There was only seven. I keep trying to find an eighth person. Cool. So we just got rid of Letty at the beginning, and then that was the only one, right? So
Letty and Dixon went together.
Okay.
And Letty and Dixon didn't actually do anything. The prompt was
CK and okay, I'm paying attention. I'm back. I got it now. So CK and Philip go after the iguanas. So we have this iguana time. Oh no, Phil's camera. We have this iguana thing where Philip literally is like, I have to jump down. I didn't understand what was going on. I thought they were gonna like climb on a huge ladder, walk around, go under something, but it's like a ladder inside of a whatchamacallit, just well, and there's iguanas in there, and it was so I think it was so funny of like, Philip, love you Philip, but it's like, how are you afraid of iguanas that badly? And like, he was shaking. I get that there's fears of everything, but I don't think anybody's ever been bit by an iguana. So it was one of those, like, what is it going to do? It's going to touch your skin some, and it'll be scaly or what, or they're not even going to jump on you. Like,
All right. You
just have to walk down and get under there.
Let me say this, right? Okay. So first of all, yes, people have been bitten by iguanas. That has happened. Okay. Like, that is a thing that can happen.
And they died?
Like, no, you don't die. Iguanas. There's probably an iguana on my front lawn somewhere, like in Florida. Sorry, by the way, my camera, I like kicked it and my camera just fell off the back and then my mic came up. That was wild. That was weird. Yeah. I'm back, professional, looking good.
do that during Deal or No Deals.
Yeah, I know. Getting it out of the way before the jitters at tonight. No, I mean, look, I think he just got in his own head. I mean, that's what fears are, right? Like when I go to heights, I get in my own head over the heights. It's not that there's actually a danger there. I mean, although if I swan dove, sure, that's a danger. But like there's not actually a danger in being at the height, but I get in my own head about how high up I am and then I can't stop. That's what happened to Philip here. He doesn't like these things. I mean, he lives in Texas. I don't know where Philip was before Texas. But if he's in Texas and if he's, you know, if he's living his life in Texas, you're probably not seeing many iguanas. And these are big things. And if you haven't seen these, they're weird looking. Like they are weird. But for the most part, like you walk near them, they hear noise, they run away from you. Like that's really how iguanas tend to go, is they are trying to avoid you more than you're trying to avoid them. I've never had a bad run in with an iguana that I couldn't handle, you know. But Philip has a full blown panic over this, full blown. And like he said, everybody else just walked through no problem. I think most of them probably had more interactions with iguanas. I just think that's what it comes down to.
Such a funny confessional too. He's like they were born in iguana land or something. I don't remember exactly what he said.
Yeah, but he was like, they were born to do it. Like whatever it was, it was good.
And like iguanas are, I don't know, horny toads and scorpions were around in Texas whenever I was there. Like both of those are scarier than nice, cool green things that you can pet or whatever. But I haven't been bit but scratched, yes.
Also says, what's up with ads during live? I don't know why there's ads during live. Has that been happening all season? I have clicked the same box every time.
You think
I just click the same box, man? YouTube
does anything.
YouTube does its own thing, man. Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes there's not. I have no idea.
Okay, let's finish this idea, this challenge, and then okay, so now it's just Lachelle, David, and Parvati.
Yes.
And Lachelle is put in this position of, I can break into this final two, keep myself safe. It's going to be me and one of these dominant players, but at least I keep myself safe. And then she goes, well, that was my plan, but I don't want to zip line at all. And you're like, no, why? And like, I need this money for my family. I don't know if she has all these confessionals, but like, in anything, you have signed up for this show, you have flown on the plane, you've filled out all the paperwork, you've made it through the first 7 weeks of this, 7 days, and now you're placed with this will put you in a dominant position this round and you can get something going. And she goes, not for me. I don't want to do the zip line. And that literally becomes the one thing that puts her in. Like, if she makes it in the final two, they put up Parvati or David immediately based on the twist of like the first four people can make sure the fifth one is automatically up. It's like, why would anybody not take that deal?
Yeah, what did you think of that?
That felt like the turn back the hourglass of this show. Of like,
see, it didn't bother me. I thought it was good.
Okay, I liked it.
I get what you're saying. I mean, turn back the hourglass was literally like, if you win this, you are at the merge. And then it was like, actually, go after yourselves. For me, I was okay with this, with the four, because it allowed it, like, people need to be on their toes in these challenges, whatever the challenges are. You can't let the players start to be able to predict the challenges before the challenges play out. And this was a very simple, basic, by the books challenge of, we're just going to walk through. We're going to dump people off. There's going to be a couple people that are going to make it to the end. And it's only going to be the two lowest case values who are going to be in danger. So you're thinking, okay, I got through the first two. I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm not playing the banker. I like that this twist was put in there. And I like that it did punish one of the three people who had made it the furthest. Because if you're not going to be one of the top two, then third place, you're at that point, Lachelle is like, well, I don't have as much to lose. I can play this safe because I'm third. I know I'm going to get a higher case than at least two people back there. So I'm chilling, like whatever. The banker always says, you know, they want you to be daring.
You got to go for it.
You got to go for it. You got to do all these crazy whatever things. You're playing it safe. Even though you made it to final three here in this challenge, you're still playing it safe. So I like this. I also like that every one of them was like, yeah, we picked Dixon.
I think the funniest thing about setting up crazy twists and turns, it is kind of like when you are doing twists, who do you want them to hit? Do you want them to hit power players? Well, then they kind of feel bad. And it's like, then you're encouraging people not to be power players. Do you want them to hit nobodies? And like, oh, this twist got rid of Lachelle, basically. And you're like, and I'm going to clarify my nobody later. We'll have a proper funeral for Lachelle. But like, it's like when you are doing these, this is going to hit the third person. Are you hoping it hits David and he has to work his way out of another round of Deal or No Deal? Or are you like kind of like, oh, thank God that didn't hit one of our stars. And like we got the benefits of a twist, but it knocked out somebody who probably would have floated to the end.
See, what it is with me is, so losing Lachelle, I don't feel like I lost much. But also they edited it because they knew that Lachelle was going to go here. Once she played Deal or No Deal, I knew she wasn't winning. Like I knew she was losing this Deal or No Deal game because of the edit, because the edit has changed significantly from season one, because the players who have made it deep all have gotten pretty good edits. Like who do we know the least now? Probably Letty. Does that mean Letty goes next week? Maybe. But like David, Parr, Phillip, CK, Dixon, those are your stars right now. And I would say Letty's in there too. So it makes sense that this is your final six. Like every one of them, with the exception of Dr. Will, are the six biggest people on this season. They edited their end game people much heavier than they edited their early game people, which I'm fine with. Like at the end of the day, give me a show where I can follow and watch.
We're trying to be satisfied.
Yeah, I want to be satisfied. I'm not dissatisfied with the cast that's remained in this game. Like Lachelle going home, I feel like is the best thing. I feel like the six that are left, you feel something for all six of these people. And I don't think that the producers really give a shit whether people survive or go home or anything. I really don't. I think they're at the point now where you get the final six, you got three episodes left, four episodes left, whatever it is. If you have Parvati and David and Dr. Will, great. If you don't have any of them, great. Hopefully you can trust your cast, because if you don't have those people, that means that this cast eliminated those people. Now you still have to get the stands to turn around and say, well, I'm going to go back and watch the show and not just be bitter that Dixon eliminates Parvati or something like that. But I don't think they really care. I think my frustration, and I think a lot of probably viewers' frustrations right now are coming from, it's not what the challenges mean. It's not what production is doing. It's not any of that stuff. The frustration is coming from, why are they making the decisions that they're making in who they're keeping? And how is Parvati constantly being safe? How is David? David's been up for elimination, what, once in the entire thing? I think that's what's frustrating.
First round, I think.
Yeah, because I think that these people are playing, they're good TV. Like Phillip, CK, they're good TV. There's no denying it. Like Phillip having the panic attack with the iguanas is perfect casting tape for another reality TV show. Truly. Like I really believe that you show that and it's like, you know, he's in his like workout outfit, but then he's scared of these iguanas and it's freaking him out and he doesn't know what to do. I think that's great. Like I really do. Him going at Parvati, put him on something like that shows him doing that shows he could go on a show like The Traitors. And I'm not just saying this to blow smoke. He's going at Parvati, one of the ultimate villains in reality TV history. He's going at her. Okay. I like that. I like CK being what CK is.
Have you looked at Deal or No Deal Island Twitter to see their, like, they do not like Phillip. They are calling him hypocritical. They're calling him
actual
high horse.
Deal or No Deal Island Twitter, like the actual account.
No. The,
I don't care what everybody else is going to say, because everybody else is going to crap on Phillip because he went at Parvati. You don't go at Parvati if you want to be revered and go riding away with the light shining behind your head. But that's because Parvati's fans at this point are psychotic.
Okay, so I'm gonna go at Parvati / the family real quick.
Do it.
I think I have watched, are we going to say probably at least 1,000 something reality shows at this point? I think there's only 5 or 6 times where an alliance has turned me off of how hokey and how dumb they come off. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, every time somebody says like, I made him my husband on this island, and Dixon's like my actual son on this island, I swear to God, it is the most grating thing possible. And that is probably the most negative thing.
You're a Big Brother fan. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but the Big Brother, like whenever they're like, we're the hitmen, you're like, okay, at least it's like we're pretending we're secret agent. Like that's a weird one to go to right away. But like the Sovereign Six or whatever, it's Chill Town. Like these are like fun, different things. the family, but like, I'm actually, I've never had a dad. And like, is that a moment where I'm supposed to be like, damn, Dixon, I'm going to root for you moving forward? Or I'm just like, that's one of the cringiest conversations I think I've seen, because David has to kind of take it as face value of like, oh, I believe what you're saying. Is it gameplay? Is he being like, honestly, I've never had someone stick up for me before. And so for you being like, you having my back over Dr. Will really feels like something to, and it's like, yeah, I hate the family. Like, what are you talking about? I'm supposed to like them?
And from John Jungkook, BB/Will fans and hating the family, name a better combo. It's shocking to know that Blake's a big Will/Big Brother fan, huh?
No, it's just like, what am I supposed to do with this? Is this other people being like, I love the family? It just seems so nice. And I do want to say, I think will be a controversial thing I'll say, but like, there's sometimes in Survivor where somebody uses outside stuff to dominate an alliance. And one thing I think was like how Coach did South Pacific, of like keeping people in check because like, hey, we have a bond religiously. Like, this feels like almost a layer underneath that of like, we are legit family members. And I think it's even the thing of like Maria telling Charlie that a year ago, you're going to meet my kids and be their like fake uncle. Yeah. Like, at a certain point, you're like, we're playing a game. But like, all the, like, even Parvati going, this is like a family. I like Parvati and David have both said they don't give a shit about Dixon. And Dixon's being like, you guys are the dad and mom I've never had. And you're just like, oh no. Like, I don't know. What is the end game of this alliance? And like, I hope this isn't like season 3 and season 4 of Deal or No Deal Island. People are like, you heard of the family. Now it's the extended family. And like, we just get into family talk of like, for every alliance on this show. And it's like the weird alliance show. And you're like, I we need to nip this in the bud right now. I hope the family loses. I do hope it's Letty, Philip. I mean, CK as a winner would be insane. Like, let's do it.
CK is not winning. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. But I am enjoying.
They're having a game left.
I'm enjoying the dynamics. I just wish Parvati ever felt like she was in danger. Because, like, again, like, and I'm not trying to go at the Parvati stands. Like, love who you love. Do what you got to do. Like, I get it. Like, and Parvati is like a Rushmore Survivor player. Understand that. I just feel
Do you believe that, or do you?
I don't believe it, but I understand it. But I just feel that the fans, they turn everything off, and I feel like we've gotten to the point of like reality TV stars have almost become like I don't know, like real movie stars. We're like, I'm going to see a movie that has Brad Pitt, and if Brad Pitt dies in the first 15 minutes, I'm going to be pissed off and say that movie sucked. I thought I was going to see a movie with Brad Pitt. That's what it feels like here. So if as long as Parvati lives, Deal or No Deal Island's having a great season. In my opinion, if Parvati was in more danger and actually having to do stuff, a la, I don't know, fans versus favorites, that would be more entertaining. That would be more exciting. There's not as much excitement around it. And I don't know how you change it, because CK and Philip and all that. But think about this. Last night was the first time that we saw somebody other than Dr. Will, who is a notorious reality TV villain, go at Parvati. That was the first time other than Dr. Will that we saw it. Everybody else plays nicey-nice with her. Like, nobody's going cutthroat, gung-ho, got to get Parvati out. And I understand you got to play the social game, you got to do whatever. If I was out there, I don't think I'd be going after Parvati. I'd probably want to align with Parvati. Like, I get that. But at the same time, somebody at some point needs to get her out of the game. No, otherwise she's just going to win. Are we really just going to let her win every time? So for me, good for Philip, good for him. Who cares that Twitter or X, whatever the hell it is, who cares that, you know, Deal or No Deal Island social media has deemed you persona non grata? Who cares? Like, at least you're standing up for yourself and you're saying what needs to be said. trust me, there's plenty of people who hate everybody who's gone against Parvati. And this isn't like, this isn't a Parvati hate rant. This is just, you're allowed to go at the favorites. And if you go at the favorites and their fan base decides you suck, that's their fan base's problem, not yours. They were going to be mad at anybody who wins the season other than Parvati anyway. So who cares? Have I gotten you off track?
No, you're doing great, sweetie. I think that's a thing that will come back around for every single one of these mixed seasons is what is more interesting to watch? And I think it is a different conversation for every single person. Would you rather watch Luke play one time or Parvati play seven? Would you rather watch Rock play one time or Parvati play seven? And would you be like, Parvati playing her seventh reality game messed up Rock's one? I'm not going to make that distinction for any of our first couple boots, but maybe in a different setting, Philip, Letty, Seychelles could breathe more if they weren't having to deal with the fire-breathing dragon of Parvati. And like, I think what sucks is when you're on these mixed shows and you're a first season player, it is way more advantageous to just align with them and be their best friend and lose to them in the finals and go, well, I was hedging my bets, instead of going at them full force and losing to the people who decided to just align with them and hedge their bets.
Well, like, so yeah. And so I'm looking at this one right here, and this is from John again. They're not showing us enough of an explanation as why the players are so misted by David and Parv. David, they don't know who it is, but Parv, that I agree with that. And I'd almost respect it more if we did hear more from the players of like, this is why I'm not going after Parvati. This is why I'm not pushing back against Parvati. Like, I was refreshing to see somebody tell Parvati for the first time in a long time, like, go away, leave me alone. And even if I don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell Philip he's wrong for his reasoning. He has his reasoning. Even if I wouldn't have been as offended by the thing that was said, probably because I didn't go through what he went through growing up, it's still refreshing. It was still nice. And like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like at this point, though, Blake, to kind of answer your question, I don't think this show works without Parvati. Just like I don't think season one worked without Boston Rob. I think you need to have, and like if Dr. Will's not there.
When you go on season three next season, you have to align with Tony and hope he takes you to the end.
Well, and here's the thing. Will we ever get a season where the famous returning person gets knocked out early? Because when I sit down and I watch Parvati do what she's doing this season, here's the thing with Parvati. Parvati knows how to lay low. She's not, the thing is, we forget that because in Cook Islands, that was so long ago, she laid low. And then in Fans versus Favorites, Penner and everybody just wanted her out. So she had to kind of bounce up a little bit faster than she wanted. Heroes, Villains, she kind of lays low again. And so she knows how to lay low. We see her do it in the Traitors. But she was always going to have a target on her back because she's playing the Traitors. And she's Parvati Shallow. So she knows how to play low. She can do that. Dr. Will comes onto the show and he plays loud, aggressive, whatever. That creates a lot of the drama that's going on. If it was just Parvati, I don't think we have a lot of the drama necessarily that's going on the season because Dr. Will is a shit stirrer and the show needs a shit stirrer.
Thank God, dude.
But this is my question. Can this show work without a previous player shit stirrer or no?
And I'm sure, like, I think that's an interesting thing of next season. I mean, if not to do like, hey, we have 10 less people watching live than we did last week. And like, that's the goodbye to Dr. Will. Does that mean a third of these people are Dr. Will fans? And like, I'm so excited to watch Dr. Will. That's kind of how I got roped into watching season two of this, is I get to watch Dr. Will again. And if Dr. Will was making it to Final Five and whatever, I'd probably be like, he's the greatest game player ever. So how could I be like, Parvati isn't the greatest game player ever? Like, it's so hypocritical, but that's what I like about it.
I hate hypocrisy. So now you're making me hate you.
And like, this is what's fun about early 2000s reality TV coming back after 20 years of Dr. Will was on season two of Big Brother. Danielle was on season three of Big Brother. They're both taking over an NBC show right now. And like, I think whenever you have a brand new civilian shitster that's saying, I'm gonna go on that show and punch people in the mouth. Well, not really, but with my words, like, they could get on the show just by saying that in casting and then be like, you know what, my best plan forward is to bifflate into the background. And then you're like, God damn it. Like we cast you because we thought you were going to be a crazy personality. Then you get to Panama and you're like, I like how these pina coladas taste. And I'm actually a big fan of Parv. I'm just going to play Parv's best friend race and try to get to the end.
Cause I bet you Dixon probably talked a big game in his casting video. Talks a big game.
Oh, I'm sure they are pissed about Dixon, to be honest.
He talks a big game as confessional. Like the best thing for his game is to play.
Shut up and ride. Yeah. Like
he's not doing anything wrong. He's doing what he should be, but that's not how he portrayed himself when he got cast on the show. So how do you find that balance? I would be curious. I don't think that Deal or No Deal Island can ever do a season where they don't have at least one returning personality on the show. However, I think the best thing for Deal or No Deal Island to really truly confirm whether or not this is a viable show for the long run is for them to have their Boston Rob or Parvati or Dr. Will get eliminated in the first or second episode of the show. Because then if they go and the show can't sustain without them and there's no drama and it's not exciting, show's done. But if it can, and if it is exciting, if it's something we want to watch, and if it's great, and if we do get to see some of these Phillips, Lettys, Dixons, CKs, if we start to see Seychelles, like Seychelles was great. She got overshadowed and goes unceremoniously at the beginning of an episode. If we get that and the show works, now they don't have to rely on this. And now you can just have people interacting with each other, which I do think is better TV rather than, hey, like, here's the Parvati show or the Dr. Will show for a while. And it's becoming less of that. But like, if you go watch season one, it is the Boston Rob show. And Aaron is sprinkled in for good flavor. But it is the Boston Rob show.
And I think what we're actually saying is, Parvati is getting high up on people's alliances and allies lists because of prior work she did on other TV shows.
Yes.
And if everybody's on that level playing field, then we do have I trust you because I know you spent 4 hours with me after dinner. Mm-hmm. I trust you because I know how you ride or die with previous people on the other 5 shows I've watched. And then it's actually hard, like everybody's on that level playing field, and like nobody's gonna feel bad just because, like, we're gonna get to Lachelle's funeral. Like I there's one thing she said where I was like, girl, bye. Like, yeah, you played this so poorly, and just remind me of that Parvati bite she said. This is still a recap though. So we do have somebody say the words out loud. I don't think it's Lachelle, but somebody goes, I think it's CK. Somebody said, there's been 4 good deals in a row, so we're due for someone to just die. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there goes literally any suspense I had. But that was something hilarious. And then we have a strategy talk of, I'm going to let you go ahead, Parvati. I also don't want to do the thing. You just have to have my back.
Yeah.
And Parvati's like, Lachelle, do not worry. I have your back more than anything. Lachelle and David run back with 2 seconds left. And it's like, why are you putting 2 seconds left? What? Tell us what it really was. Were they 5 minutes? Like, It wasn't 2 seconds. Like, just tell us the truth, please. And they put the cases in. It's locked. And then they say, hey, now that you guys are here, by the way, Lachelle and Dixon are the only people you can pick, Parvati. And Parvati's put in this impossible position of, will she choose her son or will she choose the person who less than 10 minutes ago she said, I won't choose you no matter what. And is this a dilemma that you think is interesting enough to talk about longer than 20 seconds?
No, I think what we should really talk about is the fact of Lachelle playing the game and making the worst deal she could have. She literally made the deal at the worst time. She had a 50-50 shot the entire time and then made the deal when she had a 33% chance of surviving.
Okay, this is a Lachelle funeral now. Lachelle. there was a couple times where I, in this episode, where I was like, bye. Like I, it's a thing where I think I want to say this the right way. So let me bring it up. Lachelle is 55 years old. We also had Rock, who was 65. These are our two people that had the bad deals in the last six times. The oldest woman and oldest man will be eliminated from the show because of a dumb mistake they do in the odds. It's pretty much put out in front of them. She's asking for advice. People are not giving her advice. She also says a couple crazy things of, I'm going to put my trust in Parvati. And then she says to Parvati's face, if I do go up and pick somebody to eliminate, I'm going to choose Dixon. Mm-hmm. And she says to a camera, if I get rid of Dixon, Parvati will be even more on my side. And it's like, I don't think you understand how any of this works at all. Of if I eliminate one of the person who's in charge's main ally, I will get that main ally spot is not a way these games have worked for 25 years. And unfortunately, she goes to Deal or No Deal. She asks for advice. The time where I was like, goodbye, was when I think it's super important where if you think people are casting, I don't want to say the word flop, but casting positives and casting negatives, whenever somebody in here, I just got eliminated, her next two sentences were, I didn't have a lot of high numbers, so I ended up making a bad deal. And she's literally explaining concrete details of what just happened instead of any commentary or opinion from herself. She doesn't say, I'm sad. She doesn't say, like, this is disappointing. She literally just explains what happened in the game. We're getting nothing from Lachelle of like, yeah. Like that was a waste of like, not a waste of a casting slot, but like, then she says the sentence afterwards of, this game was about to turn crazy and I don't want to be a part of the game if it was about to turn crazy. And you're like, oh, so you don't have a killer instinct. You don't have a knack for the game. You don't have a pulse on relationships. You like, it's honestly, thank God you aren't getting dragged further, but like, it's just disappointing to see all this of somebody who has been a part of this game for 8 days of solid gameplay from everyone. Like, maybe there will be better gameplay now that we don't have to like talk Lachelle through.
I feel like, okay, so to defend Lachelle here briefly, I feel like Lachelle was put on this show not to be the instigator, but to be the sound person, to be the person who is making sense, who is thinking about things more logically and not from a crazy standpoint of like, I want to make good TV. I think the biggest problem with Lachelle is her reasoning towards the end of the game, her reasoning for a lot of the moves, it didn't add up for logically. And that was the biggest thing. I don't think Lachelle's a bad casting choice. I just think logically, when it came down to we need these logical moments from Lachelle, they didn't work. She didn't have her logical moments clicking in the way that they needed to be clicking. And the biggest one was the end of this game when she has a chance of a 50-50 shot and then he offers her $1.5 million and she's like, well, I'll make a good deal for the group. It's like the odds are you have $1.75 million or more. So you are making a bad deal. You are taking an odds on I am probably making a bad deal. Why would you willingly make a bad deal?
And then she says to Joe, like, I may be going home, but I sure did get a lot of money for the group. I'm like, I'd never want to see you again.
Yeah, and what's crazy,
get out of here.
All she has to do is open another case. She opens one more case. She's got a 50-50 shot. And then you choose, do you think you have the penny or you think you have the $1.75 million? But either way, you have a 50-50 shot. You literally gave yourself a 33% chance. Doesn't make sense.
Which I think, if you're paying attention, she had a 50 chance. Then the first time it's less than 50, she took it. And you're like,
yeah. And that's what drove me crazy. Just because the number was $1.5 million. Which that number means nothing.
I'm just flabbergasted because, like, I think when I'm watching shows like this, I love shows like this. And I will always talk about the best game moves for the rest of my life. Like, we're going to talk about Eric Reichenberg taking off his necklace for the rest of our lives. Like, I think that was why I was so excited about last year's Operation Italy, because I think I'm going to be talking about that for another 20 years. But, like, the blunders are super interesting the other way of, like, how did you guys let this happen? That's such a blunder. But this is such a self-inflicted, like, Lachelle played so badly for legitimately, like, she gets to the final three of a challenge and doesn't have the killer instinct. She goes and does the opposite of what you should tell Parvati, and then asks for advice, has a misguided, like, I wanted to get more money for everyone, is like, thank God you're like, I would love to play a reality show. Like, imagine being Parvati and being like, I dominated Deal or No Deal Island. And, like, somebody goes and finds the clips where Lachelle goes, I'm glad I got money for everyone else. I don't really care that I lost. It's like, no, you beat Lachelle. Like, yeah. And that's probably the rudest thing I could probably say. But I do think whenever people do the, like, legacies, it'll be like, oh, Kim Spradlin beat a bunch of nobodies on this season. And you're like, well, she dominated what she had. But, like, Lachelle being like, I'm glad I got money for everyone else is a, yeah, this is not the best strategic cast of all time.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up.
And then David doesn't really do anything this whole episode.
I mean,
Letty doesn't do anything this whole episode.
The problem is with some of these episodes is there's so much time spent with the excursion and so much time spent with them playing Deal or No Deal Island that in the 42-minute runtime where a minute and a half is previously on and the last minute is next time on in credits, you're talking, you have 40 minutes and 20 of those are spent on the excursion and the challenge, maybe 25. Like, it's a little uneven.
Did you watch the next time on?
No, it doesn't come up on Peacock.
I don't think I did either, but
yeah, it doesn't come up on Peacock. But
what? Okay, there's four episodes left. Who wins?
David.
I think CK wins. Let's do it.
No, there's no way. No, I think David. I think it's David.
I'm back to cheering for CK, just because, like, the fact that she has survived two rounds now afterwards. So it's like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, you go back to cheering for CK. I will not be doing such a thing. We'll be live, Blake and I, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern time talking about U.S. Survivor 48 premiere. So that'll be a good time. Can't wait to do that. Hope you guys are excited for that. If you're not, I don't know what's going on. But make sure you get out there. Check out our prop bet game, our over-under game. If you want to become a patron, you can play in our fantasy game, which is starting tonight. And then we got our power rankings game that begins this weekend. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Apologies, I kicked my microphone and camera to Kingdom Come there.
You only do it to Deal or No Deal Island.
It's a disaster week after week. But we're going to be back tonight, and everything's going to be so professional. It's going to be unreal. See you guys later.
See ya.